It is the week of Christmas. Parents, you have 5 days. No pressure. The 20th day of December now, 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. God bless the Freedom of Information Act. It's one of the only ways that we have to get anything honest out of our government. Obviously, our government would never pass a law like the Freedom of Information Act today, but fortunately, Congress is also too paralyzed to ever repeal it. But thanks to the Freedom of Information Act, we have some hope of getting some honest data about coronavirus cases and vaccines from our government, but rest assured, they will kick and scream as much as possible before forking any of that over. Public Health and Medical Professionals for Transparency is a professional organization of scientists and doctors. They recently filed a Freedom of Information Act request for the data used by the Food and Drug Administration to justify authorizing the COVID-19 shots being falsely referred to as vaccines. Now, the Freedom of Information Act requires federal agencies to reply to requests within 20 days, though they can take longer if it actually takes that long to find and assemble the requested data. Well, last month, the FDA responded to that group's request. They said that it would take them 55 years to meet their request for information. Yeah, you heard that right. 55 years. Now, the FDA apparently could decide to approve these vaccines for emergency use in a matter of weeks last year, but can't produce the same information for others any earlier than 2076. Let's put that figure into perspective. 55 years in the other direction is 1966. It's before the moon landing. It's the early years of the Vietnam War. It's only 1 year after Medicare started. The years since 1966 have seen every single Super Bowl ever played. They contain the entirety of the personal computer revolution. That's how much time the FDA claims it needs to compile some documents requested by concerned citizens about the so-called approval process of a so-called vaccine that's barely a year old. Barely a year old, but yet already, according to the CDC's own vaccine adverse events reporting system, has already caused over 20,000 deaths, and we know those deaths to be only less than 1% of actual vaccine injuries, according to a Harvard study. The FDA's excuse is that the request would require producing 329,000 pages of documents, and that all of these documents have to be redacted to remove business and trade secrets for Pfizer and BioNTech. Huh, what a remarkably useful excuse to have. The incredible thing, by the way, is that this FOIA request was filed by supporters of the vaccines. They're professors at universities like Harvard and Yale who argue that full transparency would make the public more likely to get vaccinated. Yet, fascinatingly, the same FDA that rushed through approval of these shots isn't eager to play along in the transparency game. God bless Dr. Jane Ruby, who's all over this, and she joins us now. Dr. Jane, thank you for being here.
Yeah, Stu, the shocking part of this story, I mean, we know there are injuries, right, and deaths. The shocking part is that they knew, and they knew early. Pfizer knew, the FDA knew. The documents were obtained, as you said, by a group of doctors, journalists, and professors that call themselves Public Health and Medical Professionals for Transparency. And they filed this FOIA. What do we see in them? I looked through the entire document. The most shocking parts of it were that as early as February of this year alone, when Pfizer's shot was being rolled out worldwide on an emergency basis, in the first 3 months they knew before this rollout, that they had already compiled over 42,000 reports, and that entailed 160,000 injuries, Stu. Let's take a closer look. There were 1,223 deaths between the ages of 31 and 50. There were over 25,000 nervous system injuries, 17,000 musculoskeletal injuries, thousands of heart attacks and strokes, 14,000 GI, 270 babies lost their lives in miscarriages. Sue, remember I said five beagle dogs died in the Celexa animal studies? 25, 30 years ago, we have 270 babies that died, 1,223 adults died. And this thing rolled out after February. They knew. The shocking part is they knew. They knew as early as February 21st or 2021, and they rolled it out anyway, Stu. And let me add something else to this. Pfizer is now saying, well, listen, these are self-reported injuries. You know, doctors, patients, their families, we can't be held responsible for that. Well, guess what? You broke your own blind and you failed to conduct safety studies after you broke. When they broke the blind, Stu, that means that the placebo control went away. And all we could possibly be left with in a study is self-reporting and voluntary reporting. And here's another revelation from these materials. They have a lot of missing data, but we knew that, right? Because no part of the study looked at people who were pregnant, what, pregnant women, breastfeeding women, people under 12 years of age. And effectiveness was not studied. I've raised this before, but it's very important to remember this study was not done to look at efficacy against a placebo, which means that they cannot claim that they prevent the flu. But yet they are claiming that they have efficacy to prevent catching it, transmitting it, and going to the hospital for it. And in fact, the other egregious part is that the FDA actually challenged this FOIA in court, as you said, because they told the court it needed till 2096 to disclose what they claim is over 400,000 pages. And even the CEO of Pfizer will be dead by then if he dies of natural causes. And I wanted to add one other thing to your attention. Speaking of Albert Bulos, the CEO of Pfizer, he has now come out and said, after saying, by the way, that the initial shots were 95% effective, oh, now we have a little waning, but we're going to do a booster. He has now come out, Stu, in the last few days or so, and said that we're going to need a fourth booster to get through the winter, but that booster really won't touch Omicron. But don't be afraid, have no fear. Pfizer has an Omicron-specific booster or slash vaccine in the works and ready to be launched just in time for your 6-month booster, March of 2022.
In 6 months, five shots. Go ahead. I cannot believe this.
it's a lot of insanity, Stu. I get it. And you know what else? Still, Pfizer employees, I'm hearing, have not been mandated to take this. But Stu, they knew early, and they went ahead with this. They don't care.
They actively tried to suppress and are still trying, because they're saying that it's going to take, you know, 100 years to get this thing done. 160,000 is what you're saying the number is. 160,000 bioweapon injuries were hidden intentionally, covered up, kept in secret, behind the big curtain, away from public purview. 160,000 injuries. And see, this is the thing. We talk about this vaccine adverse events reporting system, and they talk about it being less than reliable because people fill it out for themselves. Well, first of all, it's very difficult to do it. I have tried to navigate my way around that thing just to peek around and look at how easy or difficult it is for somebody to report these injuries. Because in my Telegram, I have seen people say, look, my daughter is vaccine injured and I don't know how to do this. I can't do this. I was going to try to help them out if I could. It's difficult to do. And number two, it's a federal offense. It's a felony to falsify information in that vaccine adverse events reporting system. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct, Stu. Look, we have 20,000 deaths, and that's with the CDC messing with the numbers, throttling them off. And they have to approve every single one of them for it to become an official part of the record. Stu, I want to leave everybody with this question. Where is Congress? You don't have an excuse anymore. You're sitting on your hands, both sides of the aisle. You're all guilty. You're all complicit. You've had more than enough time and more than enough evidence and information. Where is the Congress?
Yeah. Manchin, Joe Manchin, the senator, the traitor to our country, had enough testicular fortitude. He had the balls to shut down this over-excessive Build Back Better and made it Build Back Never. He took a stand Where yes. are the rest of our senators and congresspeople as our kids are being subjected to a bioweapon that in just 10 months has killed three times as many people as every previously approved vaccine combined? All of them. Did you hear what I said? If you're an elected representative, if you're a public servant, you have been put on notice with an affidavit provided by Dr. Jane Ruby, with exhibits of evidence provided by Karen Kingston, a biotech analyst, as well as exhibits that support yep. her evidentiary claims, that these, you now have been put on notice. You have no more plausible deniability, and any furtherance to continue this process or not use your office as a servant elected by the people to stop this makes you complicit in a conspiracy to commit murder. I hope you understand that. I'm out of time. Perfect, I got to get going here. But Dr. Jane Ruby, thank you so much for bringing this to the light. And we admire the way that since the very beginning of this thing, as a person who was semi-partially retired, moved to Florida to kick her feet up and enjoy the rest of her life there with no stress, no anxiety. Boy, you have thrown yourself right in the middle of all of this. And we are really blessed to have you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Stu.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell. And I'm here to tell you about my brand new product, My Slippers. What makes my slippers different from those other slippers is my exclusive four-layer design. The first layer is MyPillow's patented foam, which will help prevent fatigue and offer you incredible support. My second layer is a memory foam that will give you amazing comfort. And layer three is my patented impact gel that'll help reduce stress on your feet. And layer four is a durable outdoor-indoor sole so you can wear my slippers anywhere, anytime.
Go online or call right now to order your very own pair of the new My Slippers. Use the promo code on your screen and save an incredible 40% off your My Slippers order. You can enjoy My Slippers anytime, anywhere.
What I love most about My Slippers is that I can wear them all day long and not have to change shoes.
I personally guarantee the first time you put them on, they'll be the most comfortable slippers you'll ever own.
Well, this totalitarian, overreaching, communist vaccine purge of our nation's military is a real thing. It's compromising our national security. It's official. It's begun. It's underway. The Army has officially reprimanded more than 2,700 soldiers and will start discharging every single one of them beginning next month. Almost 3,000 soldiers. The Marine Corps announced last Thursday that it's already discharged more than 100 Marines for being, quote, unvaccinated. And then there's the Air Force, which last week discharged 27 members for refusing to receive an experimental, dangerous, deadly myocarditis-causing emergency use authorized injection. I mean, let that sink in. And those 27, that's the first of many. All 27 of those discharges were low-level personnel in their first term of enlistment. Also, none of those personnel sought a medical, administrative, or religious exemption from the vaccine, to which we hear there were 20,000, approximately. Once they start purging officers and career servicemen, plus all of those people who tried to get exemptions, that purge list is going to pile up exponentially. There's still thousands of personnel who have refused to submit to this jab. One of those endangered personnel is our next guest. By necessity, he must remain anonymous, and we can't reveal the full extent of his career accomplishments, but they are substantial. He's an active duty Air Force major, more than a decade in service. He's married, he has kids, he's seen combat, he's spent thousands of hours in the air. Nevertheless, he's putting his entire career at risk to resist these illicit shots. The major sent us an email recently outlining his position, quote, "I love my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, my family, and my country. Although the why isn't fully clear, and at the time I can get frustrated or discouraged, I believe fully that God orchestrated my life to get me to this point. This is not an attempt to get out of the military. My service commitment is up. As easy as it would be to simply separate, which I can do whenever I want, I will not go gently into that dark night. I'm trying to fulfill my oath in defending the Constitution against enemies, both foreign and domestic, namely tyrannical totalitarianism." Our next guest said that while opposition started as a general opposition to the COVID shots, this opposition has now hardened in the wake of this sham approval and the clear efforts to evade making a fully lawful order. And he joins us now, sir. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Awesome, too. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So we're never going to get any honest information from our government, from our media, from the armed forces. You're there. You're inside. What's really going on? with this purge and this whole sham program in the armed forces with this shot?
Let me start with my disclaimer, right, that anything I'm saying here are my personal convictions and not the official views of the Air Force or the Department of Defense. But you're right, they're starting to realize that they're in a bit of a mess here. There's a lot of lawsuits that aren't going their way. They have a little bit of a win on their side. The recent approval of the National Defense Acquisition Act included provisions to just generally discharge non-compliers as opposed to worse. At face, that may be helpful for some. However, in reality, what it does is it avoids our ability to fulfill full due process and force them to meet us in court, if you will, for any kind of worse discharge. General discharge just kind of sends us away without having the ability to continue pushing back on this. I think one of the things they're beginning to realize is that there are a lot of us and that we are fully aware of our rights. And a couple of lawsuits that are ongoing are making them a little nervous. In fact, starting here on 7 January, they're required to start turning over biweekly reports of how many religious accommodations have been submitted, how many have been reviewed, how many have been approved, how many have been denied, and why. And that's going to really cause some issues for them, because at this point, with the thousands that have been submitted, not a single religious accommodation has been approved. Which, granted, right, we're in the to give us religious accommodation if they can. For instance, you can be in the military and legally be a conscious objector to war. They have approved religious accommodations for that. But they're unwilling to budge on this, despite the fact that over the past couple of years, we've been fully operational. We've not had a vaccine until just recently, and that hasn't been detrimental to our readiness. And only a handful of military have succumbed to the illness anyway.
That's because it's not killing. It's virtually killing nobody. 99.989% of people who contract this thing survive. We all know that,
right?
You know, obviously we get that information out here, right, daily. So the difference between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, and I hate using that term because we know that, you know, for all intents and purposes, this is not a vaccine. But what is the difference in treatment between these two groups of people?
Yeah, exactly, Stu. That's a good question. We are very much divided, you know, oppressor versus oppressed groups here. Whereas the fully vaccinated have, quote unquote, earned their freedom back. They're fully mission capable. They can go to training. They can travel around the country, around the world. They can promote. They can. They have full rights to do whatever they want. Whereas those who are out of compliance are kind of restricted to nothing. Our careers are on an indefinite hold. Our records are flagged. We're not able to be entered into training. We're not able to go attend training. We're not able to be entered into schools, promote, or really compete across the board for anything. Which is interesting, because simultaneously to putting those policies into place, they also instituted a requirement to test the unvaccinated on a weekly basis. One would think logically that if you were to compare someone who is vaccinated on base, who has no restrictions and who may or may not have COVID, we don't know, we just know that they're vaccinated, next to someone who is not vaccinated, then the one who's not vaccinated should be considered equally, if not more so, capable to fulfill the mission, because that person is the only one of the two who we know is COVID negative because they were just tested and we're testing weekly. In addition, they're still enforcing a mask mandate for those who are unvaccinated, which, science aside on whether or not that's effective, is an issue as far as HIPAA is concerned, right? So those of us who are unvaccinated are forced to publicly display our private medical information based on what we're wearing, right? So you can imagine the kind of turmoil if they were to force members that have HIV or hepatitis to wear a different color shirt so they could tell us apart, right? That would be very discriminatory against them. So on the one hand, they're arguing they have to disprove the religious accommodations. There's no lesser invasive means available other than the vaccine. The only way to accomplish the mission is to get vaccinated. And on the other hand, they're arguing that by by doing the testing, they're helping preserve the health of the force without recognizing that it is in fact a less invasive means and provides equal, if not better, quote unquote, readiness standards than the vaccine.
So the lesser invasive means that you're speaking of would be testing and masking. Is that right? As opposed to the invasive method, which is an experimental emergency use authorized, quote unquote authorized, because this thing really, I mean, that authorization, I think, is in serious question as to what exactly it is that's approved or authorized for emergency use. There has been other military whistleblowers that have come forward and said, hey, no, this is a Comirnaty vaccine that hasn't even been produced yet. So, but anyway, as far as the lesser invasive methods, that's what you're speaking to, right? Is the testing and the masking.
Correct. Yeah. On your vaccine mandate point, there's actually a judge in the in one of the lawsuits right now that he didn't institute a stay, but he did rule that the Department of Defense's argument that they can be mandated interchangeably is actually incorrect, and that they cannot force an EUA vaccine that was produced before the quote unquote Comirnaty approval, as you can't retroactively make something approved when it was created in an unapproved way or under emergency use. But yeah, I think that if you really want to step back and look at less invasive means, then there's even less invasive means than that, right? Natural immunity should be considered a less invasive means, right? Studies are coming out every day showing that natural immunity supersedes that of the vaccine, especially as you have these new variants, which are surging through the vaccinated populace, whether it be through in the sports arena or in the military right now and everywhere else. As you see the increase of vaccinated personnel, you're also seeing a surge of COVID, which the fact that they're refusing to recognize the natural immunity, they're refusing to recognize the negative testing, they're refusing to recognize any other means of less invasive means like masking. You could argue that. I think that, you know, that medically, scientifically speaking, that's probably not a sound point. But if the DOD is going to insist that in order to work with the unvaccinated, they have to test and mask, then they are kind of underhandedly admitting that to them, those are ways of preventing the spread of COVID.
To your point about the masking and the spread and natural immunity, I just want to say this because I think it's really important that we hash this over and over again and make it abundantly clear. Dr. Peter McCullough has been on this program. He has hundreds of peer-reviewed papers, by the way. This guy is an internist, an epidemiologist, a virologist, and a cardiologist. I mean, nobody is more papered than this guy, who has, he along with Dr. Paul E. Alexander, proven that people who have the SARS-CoV-1 immunity, the antibodies to SARS-CoV-1 from 10 years ago, their antibodies are killing SARS-CoV-2 more robustly than any of these shots. Now, if these shots were effective, explain to me why this Bourla, the CEO over at Pfizer today, said that there's going to be a fifth shot by March. The fourth one is coming out, but it's not going to be effective against this Omicron variant. And so they're going to require a fifth shot by March. I mean, we're talking about a one-year time period where people have to take five shots in order to be considered fully vaccinated. The NHL and Major League Baseball and the NFL, you were talking about sports arenas. These players, by their policy, by Major League Baseball, by the National Football League, and by the National Hockey League, they have a policy that they are required to be fully vaccinated. But there are games being canceled willy-nilly, left and right, because of COVID outbreaks. So the natural immunity absolutely does need to be recognized, which is a lesser invasive means than these shots. And I want to ask you a question. You said that a judge ruled that this DOD, this order is cannot be upheld because they approved something that was not approved or whatever. So why is the mandate still in place? I mean, if a judge ruled that that's, how is this still in place?
CSU, the case is still ongoing. The judge hasn't definitively ruled, hasn't made a decision, hasn't instituted a cease and desist or a stay. That was just one of his findings during the deliberation of the case. So if you read through the narrative, he mentions that was something that stuck out to him. So that's still ongoing. They're still trying to pursue that greater. I think it could potentially be an avenue of some relief, but it hasn't been a definitive, you know, hammer of the gavel to make it happen. But yeah, Dr. McCollin, a lot of us, you know, listen to him fairly regularly, and he's run appointments at. I think that it in order for this to continue, as they continue to move the goalposts of what they define as fully vaccinated, all they're going to do in the military is create a bigger problem. So right now, like I said, for the Air Force, the numbers I have on top of my head, but we're sitting at almost 11,000 religious accommodations submitted. But in total, they're at just over 19,000 out of compliance, whether that be outright refusal or haven't started yet or have only gotten one. But I also know that there's a substantial portion of the military who are considered in compliance, but only did so in order to what they saw as something they had to do to keep their job. They didn't want to do it. They didn't feel they needed to do it. But they were being so threatened, so coerced into doing it, they felt they had no choice and they got it. So if these boosters continue to become a requirement, and now it's 3, 4, 5, I would imagine that number could potentially increase exponentially. Yes. And then what's the military going to do? Kick out 30-40% of its people? I mean, that's obviously going to create, national defense considerations.
Okay, so that's where I want to get. What's the big plan here, right? And you're there. So I've only got about a minute left here, but do you really believe that they will stick to their guns and push this all the way to the point of complete military depletion?
That's a good question, Stu, and I don't know if I can answer that without, injecting, hypotheticals and injuncture. Yeah. I would hope not. I would hope that they are going to realize that it's not going the way they would hope it was going, that we are smarter on this than they assumed we would be, and that the courts, at least for now, are widening the line, if not tipping in our favor on this. The problem is if they create some precedent, then they're going to, or they're going to have to just keep going and dig in. And then you're going to have to keep getting rid of people, as well as not meeting retention or recruitment goals, because that's a stipulation now to even join the military. So as that happens, you can see how that's going to create more and more issues. And while the active duty side has those numbers, the reserve and especially the guard side are even less amenable to these kinds of policies than the active duty side, because they have at least a little. I will say that at least the Air Force Reserve component is being pushed very hard on this. And while they're not technically kicking them out, so they're not submitting paperwork.
We're having some technical difficulties here. We did lose him. All right. Well, I mean, that's how this stuff works. But just think about this. I mean, let this all sink in. Fundamentally, spiritually, ideologically, at its core, the irony here is just really unfathomable. I mean, who is it that signs up for the military? These are young men and women with a calling from God, who are putting their hands on a Bible and swearing an oath to a constitution to defend against all enemies, both foreign and domestic, and literally with the understanding that they very well could pay the ultimate sacrifice and die. For what? To protect freedom and individual liberty. And these are the very people whose freedom and individual liberty is now being trampled all over. I mean, let that sink in. I'm out of time here. I got to move on. But more of the Stu Peters Show in just 60 seconds. Wow.
Give the most of Red Voice Media by going premium. Exclusive behind-the-scenes content. One-on-one extended hard-hitting interviews with Stu Peters. And deep dive investigative reports. All always 100% ad-free when you become a premium member. Always 100% America first. True conservative values. Action-based reporting with courage. 100% ad-free content, including the headlines mainstream media won't touch. Uncensored. Unafraid. Unstoppable. RedVoiceMedia.com/premium. RedVoiceMedia.com/premium.
All right, just 5 days remaining until Christmas, but you still have time. Go to StepOnSocks.com right now. Can you imagine in your stocking getting stockings? High quality, all cotton, 100% Patriot design stockings. Take your pick, whether it's the Trader Joe version or the Free Our Kids sock or the Freedom Forever sock or the original Globalist sock or my favorite, the Trust in God sock. You can step on sins all day long. There is a sock for everybody. Not coal in your stocking. How about precious metals? Go to steponsocks.com to buy silver or your flags. A huge variety of flags. Make sure that you mention Stu Peters when you get your Christmas shopping done right now at steponsocks.com. Karen Kingston is a biotech analyst. She's here with us again. She's been brave. She's been with us for a long time, nothing short of a hero as she continues to bring us patents and documentable information. And now she says that there's new evidence that vaccinated parents are increasing the mortality risk for their unvaccinated children. There's also evidence, she says, of an absurdly high false positive rate for COVID on the PCR test that virtually everyone is using to check for COVID-19. And she joins us now to discuss these two stories, the mortality risk for children. So you're saying that there is actual documentation, verifiable evidence that jabbed parents could cause death for their kids.
Yes, that's correct, Stu. There was a new study that was released on November 23rd, so just a few days ago, and it was done out of Israel and New York by several analysts, and it's entitled COVID Vaccination Age Stratified All-Cause Mortality Risk. So what I did was I read through it very thoroughly, and what they did was they took a look at the VAERS data as well as data in Europe, and they put the vaccination rate over mortality risk. So I want to show your viewers first the stats that are in that report, and I put it together in a chart. So before we get to the shedding onto the children, I just want to show your viewers from the ages of 0 to 17, the vaccine fatality rate. So the incidence of death from the vaccine is 0.004%. That is 1 in 25,000. That's if you're under the age of 17 and vaccinated. Why is that so alarming? Because if you take a look at the number of children under the age of 17 who died from COVID through May 11th, of this year, and that's before we started doing mass vaccination, it was only 282 out of a total population of about 73 million. So that's a 1 in 250,000 person risk versus 1 in 25,000 if you're vaccinated.
So 10 times more likely to have a serious adverse event or death. Well, to have death.
It's
10 times more likely to die from these shots than you are to succumb to this so-called virus, this set of symptoms being branded and marketed to make people billionaires.
That's correct. If you're under 18, under the age of 18. But I would go a step further. All those children who died from COVID did not die from COVID. There was another cause of death. They had multiple comorbidities, and COVID was simply added onto the death certificate. So if you're perfectly healthy, it's more of a 1 in 2.5 million chance. So if you're under the age of 18, you have 100 times more likely chance of dying from the vaccine than actually from the disease itself. So this is very alarming data, and it's backed up by the CDC numbers. But what I want to read this to you as well. So the COVID vaccination and age stratified all-cause mortality risk. What they say here is that when they compare our age stratified vaccine fatality risk with published age stratified coronavirus infection rates, it suggests the risk of COVID vaccines and boosters outweigh the benefits in children, young adults, and older adults with low occupational risk or previous coronavirus exposure. So our findings raise important questions about the current COVID mass vaccination strategies? And again, that is a really important question, because if you take a look at what's going on with the flu or the flu vaccines, if you take a look at the death rates for flu over the years, it's much higher in 2020, 2019, a little bit lower in 2018 and 2017. There was no flu this year. And the line that you see for the COVID-19 hospitalizations for children 5 to 11 is lower than the overall flu. So why are we vaccinating children? And the report goes on to say, for the unvaccinated age group 0 to 14, most associations between mortality and vaccination in adults are positive. What does this mean? It means this tendency for positive correlations increases from the week of vaccination until week 18 after vaccination, then it disappears. It indicates indirect adverse effects of adult vaccination on mortality of children ages 0 to 14 during the first 18 weeks after vaccination. So what it's saying is that when an adult is vaccinated, up to that 18 weeks afterwards, there's an increased risk for death for their children for between the ages of 0 to 14.
Meanwhile, White House official statement just coming out here today. We're intent on not letting Omicron disrupt work and school for the vaccinated. You've done the right thing, and we will get through this. For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death for yourselves, your families, and the hospitals you may soon overwhelm. That is an official statement at whitehouse.gov, ignoring the fact that kids are 100 times more likely to die from this shot that they want us injecting every living and breathing organism with: infants, babies, toddlers, preschoolers, all the way through high school. We're going to be watering our houseplants with these shots soon.
Yeah, that's correct. And if they're under the age of 14 and their parents are vaccinated, they're more likely to end up in the hospital. And so I also want to show your viewers, this is a chart from the CDC Morbidity Mortality Weekly Report. And what it's showing is hospitalizations of children under the age of 17 with COVID-19 from March of last year through August of this year. And you can see there's a steady increase that's going on. It keeps going up, up, up. This is not related to the flu. It's not a misdiagnosis of the flu, because flu goes from October to April. It should fall off in April, but there's a sharp increase again in April. So as more and more Americans get vaccinated, adults and children, the hospitalizations for children go up. And specifically look at that four and younger line, because that's really high up there as far as hospitalizations with children as COVID-19 vaccinations increase. So you say, well, no, Karen, if you look at infection rate, I'm sure it correlates to infection rate. Go to the next slide, and I'm showing you straight from the CDC website from November 2nd, the infection rates for children for 0 to 4 and 5 to 11, it goes like this. It's a little roller coaster. There's no attribution between infection and hospitalization. The only attribution is vaccination of adults, and children, more and more children are getting hospitalized due to shedding. And if people are saying, what evidence do you have? Again, I've shown this before. Go to the August 2015 document from the FDA called Design and Analysis of Shedding Studies for Virus-Based Gene Therapies. These are gene therapies. They are viruses that produce a protein, and that protein can shed onto other people, transmitting the disease.
Meanwhile, the spike protein is traveling across the blood-brain barrier, causing all kinds of neurological problems. People are having major organ failures and shutdowns. And because of the wide variety and the length of time that it can be between injection and death or severe adverse event, of course, medical providers, cognitive dissonance, or willful ignorance are not associating one with the other. So they're not calling them vaccine injured people as that they really are. I've got about a minute left here, and I want to get to this PCR story. So you're saying that 97% of these PCR tests are false positives?
Yeah, so on December 15th, the CDC released a peer-reviewed publication, and what they came out and they said, look, 97% of the tests are false positive.
Who said that? The CDC admitted that?
The CDC admitted that, but it's worse than that, Stu. They said, here's why. There's three parts to the PCR test, and one part, they're supposed to be sterile water. It turns out that these tests were contaminated with some kind of genetic material that were causing false positives. They released them anyway. They released contaminated tests with genetic material that they knew were going to produce false positives, and 97% are false positives. So those 800,000 confirmed COVID deaths, best case scenario, it's maybe 24,000.
We know what all this is about. We absolutely know what all this is about. And these servants have been served, by the way. Notice your affidavit and exhibits of evidence were included in that JOT form that was put together by David Jose and Barnett that was served, and hopefully thousands of times. I don't know. I haven't checked the numbers. But if you haven't, we're going to put it up again at Telegram. We'll put it at Gab. We'll put it on Getter. We'll put it at StuPeters.tv. Get in this JOT form. Serve notice, because anybody who doesn't repent and separate themselves from this conspiracy is guilty of participating in a conspiracy to commit murder. And that is backed up by the documented evidence that Karen Kingston and other experts, microscopy experts, doctors, virologists, epidemiologists, real scientists are actually brave enough to bring to this program. While the media, by the way, whose budget comes from pharmaceutical companies like Pfizer, all these programs brought to you by Pfizer, we've aired the montage on this show plenty of times. You watch late night television, CNN, MSNBC, or the Fox News channel. All these programs brought to you by Pfizer, brought to you by Pfizer, brought to you by Pfizer. Meanwhile, Mayo Clinic doesn't even have a COVID-19 protocol, Karen. They don't have one. They don't have a protocol. They won't admit that. And then also, keep in mind, billionaires. People are becoming billionaires off of this deal. Well, by the way, these pharmaceutical companies are paying huge amounts of money to these healthcare providers. This is why they're turning away people at the door who are presenting with the early onset of this set of symptoms. They're turning them away. Nope, just come back when you're blue in the lips. We'll hook you up to this ventilator. We'll slam you filled full of remdesivir, another Tony Fauci, very expensive, experimental, emergency use authorized, failed drug that was in an Ebola trial, caused more deaths than anything else. We know what all this is all about. I'm filibustering and I'm out of time. I got to go. Karen Kingston, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless.
Just continues to get more and more maddening, more and more frustrating, which ignites the flame of the fire for this show to continue the fight. And Christopher Key is doing the same thing. This organization, Vaccine Police, I am proud to continue to support them, and I hope that you will too. Go to vaccine-police.com. He video documents everything as he's in the face of these hospital administrators that are killing your community members, your friends, your family, your relatives, in the face of these petty tyrants on school boards, in the face of the, you know what he's doing? He's putting up billboards in major metropolitan areas, waking people up that otherwise would have no idea that these shots are dangerous and in many cases deadly. That information that Karen Kingston just brought us, that's the type of stuff that Christopher Key is sharing with the world. Please go support this organization. Go to vaccine-police.com. Look at the video documentation of everything this guy is doing. It's amazing. I applaud his efforts. He's a modern day hero. There will be a statue of Christopher Key somewhere when this whole thing is over and we win this war. Please support that organization. Go to vaccine-police.com. Again, vaccine-police.com. It's been an intense couple of years for all of us. But for Melissa Markoutsis, the last 2 years have been even more insane, if you can imagine that actually being a possibility. Melissa's a mom in Kenosha, Wisconsin. You know, the city gutted by riots by the real domestic terrorists called Black Lives Matter after the justified police shooting of Jacob Blake. That's the city of Kyle Rittenhouse, where locals had to live in fear that they would be convulsed with another wave of riots after Rittenhouse was rightfully acquitted. Acquitted after a sham trial where he defended himself on the streets of Kenosha against a serial rapist who was trying to kill him. Fortunately, those riots didn't happen, but Kenosha is hardly out of the woods. Last spring, Kenosha's school district voted to get rid of the district's overreaching tyrannical communist mask mandates, but after the arrival of the very scary Delta variant, the school board brought back that tyrannical overreaching communist mask mandate for all staff and for all students. Now, keep in mind, the Delta variant is exactly like every other COVID variant. Children are basically immune to it. They do almost nothing to spread it. They're at essentially no risk whatsoever. Doesn't matter. Hypochondriacs and tyrants want children masked up because it satisfies their own neurotic personalities. Melissa Markoutsis has helped lead the fight against this COVID totalitarianism in Kenosha. And for that, just like a lot of us, she's been shadow banned from virtually every platform in existence. Melissa and her allies need platforms like this one, like the Stu Peters Show, to spread their pro-freedom message to other parents, and we are happy to provide it. So you have been banned for sticking up for and fighting for kids.
Yes, that is true. I've been banned prior to that for trying to spread the truth. However, it's even worse now. So you know, they don't want the truth out.
That just occurred to me is kind of amazing. When you go and fight for your kids, other people probably tell you, and I'm just from my own life, I'm speculating here. Why do you have to be so extra? Why are you doing so much? You're doing too much. Just like be quiet. Like don't push at this so hard. Like isn't it like inherently in a parent to fight for their kids? I mean, I look at these people like they're nuts. Seriously, like be quiet.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Stu. I mean, it's unbelievable. I am a mama bear and I will fight for my child's freedom till the day I die. I cannot stay silent about what is happening.
Yeah. So what do you need in Kenosha? Like what, as a parent, you're here, you're on this platform. What do you need? I mean, awareness. Yep. Great. Everybody's fighting in certain cities and states, but they can't do it alone. So are you looking for some help?
I am looking for help. Yeah. I mean, I need people to spread the awareness. I need people to get involved. I need people to also stand up in their states and fight. You know, if we don't do it, nobody else is going to do it for us. So I look to the parents to help spread the word. I look to people to help donate because we're starting a lawsuit and we need funds to do that.
Okay. So what specifically does your lawsuit state?
Well, basically the lawsuit will state that we would like to have our masks be optional for all KUSD students. We have no problem with people who would like to wear a mask. It's for the ones who do not want to wear a mask that we would like to be able to do so. We have people who've had religious exemptions, medical exemptions denied, and all within the district. They don't care. They don't care about the other parents who are not for the masks or their children.
So what does the lawsuit use as grounds to make the mask optional?
Well, basically, we hired an attorney. We had originally wanted to do a class action lawsuit because I have a bunch of different parents who felt the same way as I do. I had a petition with hundreds of parents on it, and we hired an attorney to do an investigation. I had to pick one candidate to be our best representation for all of us, which was a local pastor whose own religious exemptions were denied for his own children. What the attorney found is that Kenosha Unified School District is in violation of many things, federal laws, Wisconsin state statutes, constitutional rights for parents and for children. They're in violation of FDA violations. And I mean, the list goes on and on. So we have a lot of things for us. It's just a matter of them listening to us. We issued them a demand letter stating that, you know, you're in violation of all this stuff. I've seen some of your shows. You clearly have people telling everyone it's illegal what they're doing. And they just completely ignored us. They had 2 weeks to respond to our letter and completely ignored us. So now our attorney has said, if we want to move forward trying to make an impact at all and to stop this, we have to sue them with this lawsuit.
Yeah, it is. They're acting completely outside of the Wisconsin state's constitution, as well as the United States constitution, because they are trampling over your individual rights. They're trampling over the bodily autonomy of these children, the wishes of the parents, and they are creating ordinances, mandates, and laws, presumably, that affect your happiness and your sanctity and your God-given inherent rights according to the Constitution of both the United States of America and the state of Wisconsin. So yes, and I do have a notice, by the way, that I can send to you, which I will do immediately following this program. I'm also going to post the link to that notice in the Rumble link here, which you can use as a form. I'll also put it in my Telegram, and it'll be at stupeters.tv for parents that want to use this. I received a response from my kid's superintendent at 4:30 in the afternoon, 5 minutes after sending this notice. So obviously it's effective, and you have to put these servants on notice. They have to understand that they serve you. They serve the public. They are there because you put them there, and that you can remove them and abolish that entire school board if that is the will of the people. So you are the majority. You are not without power. As a matter of fact, you hold all of the power. And that is what we need people to understand. That's why this has become an action platform. We're going to take action against the petty tyrants that sit on school boards, like what's happening in the Kenosha Unified School District. Do you have peer-reviewed papers? Do you have statistics that prove to these tyrants that, look, kids are virtually immune to SARS-CoV-2, to COVID-19, to any of the variants, whether it be Delta, Omicron, or communism. So they're immune to all of these variants. Do you have that statistical data included in your lawsuit? Is your attorney looking for that information?
We will gather all that as well. I do have expert witnesses lined up if need be to be able to testify this type of information and how bad masks are, not only for physical health, but also emotional and mental abuse as well. These poor children are being abused daily, and I can't begin to tell you how fast I would like this all to go away, because these poor kids' identities, you ask them to draw a picture of themselves and they have drawn a picture of themselves with a black mask over their face. Little kindergartners are walking around coloring in masks over people's faces on magazines because their whole entire academic career has been programmed to be like this. It's just terrible. So yeah, not only in addition to the medical problems, but I mean, I really feel like I know that the leading cause of death during the Spanish flu pandemic was bacterial pneumonia caused by masks. And this is a hidden secret. They want people to get sick. And I feel like this is a good versus evil war. You know, we're on the right side of history fighting for God, but it's demonic to wear a mask. And, you know, so I'm totally against it. So there's a lot of, on our favor for this going forward.
Yeah. Well, you're absolutely dead on with your assessment. And what I'll say is, if just think about what you just said, the gravity of what you said, that there are kindergartners walking around drawing masks on people and magazines and other literature. Now, if you didn't think that their minds were young and impressionable and like sponges, that right there, just that proves it. And the gravity of that. Now you talk about transgender acceptance, racist poison, like this critical race theory. There is a lot going on in our schools that parents really need to be aware of. And don't be afraid of Merrick Garland and his Gestapo labeling you a domestic terrorist for attending school board meetings and voicing your opinion. You do it, you fight, because that's what we do for our kids. That's what God wants us to do for our kids, lead them to the cross. I mean, that is our only sole responsibility. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that they should be covering their face or losing control of their own bodily autonomy or subjected to a tyrannical rule of any kind. So you're absolutely doing the right thing. Where can people come to support this lawsuit if they feel so inclined?
Actually, I have a GiveSendGo set up. It's givesendgo.com/KUSD, Unmask Our Kids. If you go to my Twitter handle, which is magicman0316, spelled just that way, magicman0316. In my bio, I do have a link that can click you to go to our and help our cause.
All right. And we're going to put that Give, Send, Go link at stupeters.tv in the Rumble description, on my Telegram, everywhere that you find us, Gab, Getter, wherever you find the Stu Peters Show content. We're going to put that Give, Send, Go link there as well. And I know that I will personally be supporting your efforts as well. Melissa Markutsis, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your fight, and God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. Don't give up. We win. Never. God wins.
That's right. All this talk about our inherent God-given rights, all this talk about Kenosha, Wisconsin, defending yourself on the streets against serial child rapists who want to kill you, and then sham trials, all this talk about Kyle Rittenhouse and Kenosha makes me think about guns. The Second Amendment gives you the right to keep and bear arms. It cannot be infringed. That right is there so that you can keep and bear arms to protect yourself against a tyrannical government. What do you think we have going on here? It's my advice, it's my suggestion, it's my opinion that everybody should keep guns, should carry a gun at all times. Nobody should be caught slipping without a gun. So if you're looking for a handgun or a shotgun or a rifle, if you have guns and you want more guns, if you don't have a gun, you should get a gun and you should use GunsAmerica.com. They're the newest sponsor here on the show. We're very happy to have them. GunsAmerica.com is the most trusted online platform for buying and selling guns. And the way that they have it organized is beautiful, because you can find gun sellers locally right in your area. You will not believe all the guns for sale in your neighborhood. You'll be like, Stu, I can't believe all the guns for sale. That's right. And every transaction within 50 miles of your home, Guns America charges no fee. absolutely free. But whether you're a dealer or a private person looking to buy or sell guns, GunsAmerica.com celebrating 25 years. 1.2 million really, really smart people belong to GunsAmerica.com. And you should too, because it's more than just buying and selling guns. It's also Hunt 365, places that you can hunt 365 days a year if you're an enthusiast for hunting like I am. Or maybe you want to watch experts break down and review firearms. All of that is available at GunsAmerica.com as well. Go to GunsAmerica.com right now. Make sure that you mention Stu Peters when you go to GunsAmerica.com. Get guns, get ammo, use GunsAmerica.com. Christmas is just 5 days away, and normally it's really joyous for most people. But this year, it's really stressful, and it's different. People are losing their jobs. They're watching their retirement go away. They're pulling their hair out. They're really scared, and that's why it's really important that we spend this Money Minute with Carlos Cortez. He's our in-house financial expert, the founder and CEO at Cortez Wealth Management. So to these people that are like really stressed out right now around the holidays, what do you say?
It's a stressful situation, Stu. We know how this game plan works. We're doing a lot of shotgun retirement planning. Unfortunately, people are still retiring regardless of the pandemic, regardless of the inoculations. Even DeSantis has said that if Honeywell or Lockheed Martin are avoiding and really disrespecting the executive order, they're still being a victim of all this. And so what I say is they need to diversify and protect what they have, because the volatility index, which measures the fear and greed, is at 23.29 today. Once it starts hovering over 25, we're going to see massive, massive volatility going into 2022. This Build Back Better BS, even one of the liberals didn't even sign off on it.
So yeah,
we're going to see more volatility. They need to contact our office or go to our webinar classes.
Great.
AmericaFirstTirementPlan.com. They can contact us on info@CortezWM or CortezWM.com to book them online.
And that class is tomorrow, immediately following this show. So get there right now, AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com, and sign up. Until tomorrow at this time, here's what's up to it, here's what's down to it, here's to any way you can get to it, here's to those that don't do it, maybe dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it, and here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Don't stress, I'm praying for you. Remember, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the radio!